This is Forrest Elise interviewing for Creative Push on December 14th at 11 o'clock. And can you give me your name and your age?
Delfina Gagos, 61 years old.
Excellent. All right, so if you can tell us about the family history, like you were saying.
Okay, well, from what I understand, our family came from Spain, and originally our name was Maez. It didn't have the T-A-S at the end. And Trinidad, Colorado is named after one of the great-great uncles, Trinidad Maestas. And they owned, apparently, most of the land from in New Mexico. They were cattlemen. But as people started coming in, they started homesteading and bringing the land further north and further north. And apparently, it was a very wealthy family, the Maestas family. And eventually in time, it just kept going north and north. The majority of our family lives up to the northern part past Cuba. And my father left there and came homesteaded in Corrales, where he raised 10 children, 5 girls and 5 boys. And still to the day, my brother lives in my mother's home. And of course, we're all scattered around a little bit. There's only 7 of us left. But my oldest sister now is 84 years old.
What brought you here?
I married a man from here, and eventually I just stayed. After he left, I stayed and raised my other children here. And I remarried to the Gallegos family, and we've just lived here already over 40-some years.
So can you tell us about, so was that the father of your first child, your first husband?
My first husband was the child of my first 2 children, Richard and Lucy. And then I remarried, and I have a daughter now, with her name is Gabriella.
So can you tell us about how you and that man met? Had you planned on starting a family?
Not really. You know, after divorce and stuff, you're kind of holding back. But he's a very nice man.
But how about that first marriage, your first?
It was a trying marriage. He used to drink and stuff like that. So I figured, I worked all the time. I constantly worked. And I said one day, if I'm going to support him, I'm going to support my children instead. So I let him go. And we were still friends till the end. He passed away 4 years ago. But it's just a trying thing, and it's just something that ourselves have to try to keep our families together. It doesn't matter how bad it is. My mother raised us loving each other. And I think that's one of the most important things here in New Mexico, is that families try to stay together for as long as possible. And we teach our children who their family is. Very important. Very, very important, because you don't want them to marry into each other's family, because blood attracts blood. And a lot of times we have met people that end up being our cousins. We have a family reunion every 2 years on my father's side of the family. And we have over 500 people that show up that are family members from all over the United States.
Did you guys talk about, did your mother talk to you about birth, or did you witness any births, or raise your siblings?
Well, yeah. Yeah, I was witnessed a lot of the births. My nieces, I've been there at the births of them. My children, I've always been there for them. And it's a very beautiful thing to be there present. And my sisters, and we all raise each other's children. That's what I miss a lot about not living at home. Because yeah. The whole family lives down the road from each other. And we all raised each other's children, and as we grew up, I was the youngest of the girls. So usually in the summer, I had like 10 kids to watch. But it wasn't a burden, because where there was 10, it was the same as having 3. They entertained themselves. And my mother was always one to say, you know, if they carry your blood, they're here at home. So we have children from all races in our family. And they're all our children.
How old were you when you had your first child?
I was 17.
Did you feel prepared?
Yes, because by the time I was 10 years old, I would go out and clean houses, mind you, or help my mother clean restaurants or whatever she did. My father always worked away from home because he had hurt his back. And he came home, and he'd come home every 2 or 3 years. So we helped mother. Mother practically raised us all. By the time I was born, my oldest sister had already married. And my brother was helping my father in where he was working. And my second oldest sister too. I have a nephew the same age as myself, so she was already married.
Do you know if you were born in hospital?
Yes. I was born at the doctor's hospital, the old UNM hospital. It's a black building next to UNM. That was practically the only hospital there was back then. It's a very small building. And if you go into town, I think it's still there, the doctor's hospital.
Where did you give birth when you were 17?
At the UNM hospital. It wasn't the only hospital, but it was the only one that lower income people would go to. So, you know. Then my second child, I had her at the University Heights Hospital. It was just down the road from UNM.
How did you feel about your first pregnancy? How was the experience of being pregnant for you?
I thought it was beautiful. I thought it was a beautiful thing because it was going to be something that was mine for me to raise, for me to teach, for me to be able to hold and say, no, nobody's going to ask me to take him back. And I had already been raising all my nephews and nieces, so I knew how to do it. I mean, my mother was very, very strong on common sense. What we learned... We learned to cook, we learned to clean, we learned to sew, we learned everything, worked the fields. Everything we did, we canned all summer long, we dried fruit to make things, and, you know, through the winter, we could make it through the winter because there's so many of us. There was times I remember when we were younger and apparently mother didn't have enough, and... she'd feed us all, and then she'd ask, we'd all stand in a row next to her, and she'd say, okay, open your mouth, let me see if you're full. And she'd say yes. Oh, yes, okay, you can go play. And to us, it was psychological. And, but being raised actually in Corrales, where I was raised, was the most beautiful things. Neighbors helped each other. It was just like it was back in the days where farmers would help each other and neighbors were neighbors. It's a horrible thing now that we can't do that.
Yeah, we were noticing a lot of people have their homes fenced off, and you were so approachable, you know, and yeah. Friendly.
I love people. I don't like to keep them away that much. But it's harder and harder to do every day, you know. Even families learn to distance themselves from each other. We try to keep our immediate family together. We try to get together at least once a year so we can see each other and meet our children, because a lot of them we don't know.
Do you remember when you gave birth to your first child? Did you take medication? Did you practice any special, you know, breathing or anything like that?
Not really. You just went in there and had a child. My sister went with me. I remember that. And basically, either my mother or my sisters would be with me, and I had my children. It's just comforting.
Were there any family kind of superstitions or, you know, things that you should eat or shouldn't eat or anything like that?
Yes. My mother was always one that once we had a child, we couldn't have anything that made us too gassy. We couldn't have things that, we had a lot of protein. We had a lot of chicken, a lot of, if we had beef, pork was kind of off to the side because supposedly it caused infections and things like that. And beans was another thing nobody could have. So you ate really light after that. You ate really light foods until about the third week. Then you could start introducing your body back into regular food.
Did you know the baby's sex before you had him?
No. Never knew.
So what was that experience when, you know, did they pull up the baby and say, you have a boy, or how did...
Yeah. Well, yeah, because back then, you had an ultrasound only if you needed it. And that was very, very few and far between. So, yeah, you just wait and see. Yeah, you have a boy, which is great. You know, if you have a girl, that's even, it's good too. The only thing I would turn and see if who they looked like. My son looked like his uncle, and my daughter looked like my brother, and my youngest daughter looked like her dad. It's just, you just want to see them completely to make sure that they're perfect in every way. And even if they're not perfect, they're yours. You accept them anyway. The Lord sends them, you know.
So did you stay at the hospital long, or did you go home?
When my first child, we had to stay there about a week, which is strange. And then the second one, we were sent home after 3 days. And then the third one, also 3 days. That's the longest they would keep us there. Now they don't. 2 days, you're out.
Did you nurse?
I nursed very little. I couldn't develop that much milk, which I wanted to, but it wasn't it. So I had to bottle feed them most of the time.
In your family, did women nurse each other's children?
Well, actually, I did with my second child, because when I had my second child, I hemorrhaged, and I had to go back to the hospital, and they sent me to my mother's house. Because I had to stay flat on my back. So when I was nursing, the baby was too small, and I had to hold her like this, you know, over my chest to be able to feed her, and she wasn't feeding enough. So my sister had twins, and my mother called her and said, "Bring the girls over. This girl is ready to explode here." I was just so full that one time, and she did. She brought the twins over. One took it, the other one didn't. But the one that did drained both breasts, and she loved it. She slept for 2 days almost. And those are the only ones that I nursed myself. And they're the ones that are more attached. Yeah.
Interesting. Was there anything about the experience that surprised you?
Not really. It was whatever mother said. She knew what to do. You know, it's just we survive. You know, it doesn't matter what it takes. You survive. And that was the main thing, is getting me well enough to be able to take care of my baby and helping the other ones out too, you know. Well, she was the only one I nursed for 3 months, but then I had surgery after that, so I couldn't.
Surgery that really was related to the birth?
No, I had eye surgery then.
Were your birth similar to your children's births?
My mother never really talked about it, about our births. The only one I remember her talking to me about was she lost one of my brothers who was stillborn. And the pregnancy after that, the baby was like floating around in there and just wasn't steady enough in her belly. And when she delivered that baby, it was a hard labor. But I don't know if it was because the other baby, they had to get him out forcefully, and he came out bottom first. So I think that messed her up inside, but she still had children after that, which was kind of hard because back then if you had to be real careful because you worked so hard. And that's what a lot of girls now don't know. You know, they have their children and they're off running. And now, back then we had to make sure that everything was back in place and everything was ready for whatever. You didn't have children right away. You had them about every 2 years, naturally. And I think that's what it was, is that when you took care of yourself, binding yourself, you really had to support your back and everything, because we had so much hard work to do then. We had a lot of fields to plow. We had gardens to grow. You know, it was an never-ending story. In the winter, the same thing. We had wood to chop. Well, I was raised in a home where we didn't have no gas. All we had was wood. Go out and have to sweep the snow and everything. Back then, we got a lot of snow. We had up to 4 or 5 feet of snow. I remember that, which we haven't had in a long time.
So can you talk about that binding? Is that...
The binding basically is to keep the uterus, get your uterus to go back in place, and it'll firm it, because when the babies are nursing, those muscles are being pulled. So when you firm that, it brings everything back into place, like my mother used to say, where it's supposed to go. Because that's why I think a lot of people have the uteruses that drop, because they never enforced them to just go back into the place where they're supposed to. Even though you're not nursing, binding was a very good thing. My mother would put us with tight jeans, you know, or something that wouldn't stretch. It had to be something hard that wasn't going to stretch.
Do you know, in your family history, when people stopped having home births?
I believe that was like back in the 50s, because that's when my parents came from up north, and my sister was born at home, and after that everybody else was born in the hospital, our family.
Did your mom ever talk about the differences of, you know, home birth and the hospital birth?
Not really, not that I remember, but it was very, very harsh. My oldest sister tells me all the time that she was having a very hard time having one of her children at the hospital, to the point where, I mean, she couldn't have her, and it was just like it was like forcing them to have it naturally. She had her naturally, but she almost died. They actually put her in the morgue. And when she woke up, the nurse was in there collecting stuff, and she asked her for a blanket because she was cold. The nurse almost collapsed. But it was, she said at that time, says the doctors weren't the same as they are now. I mean, now they have so much technology. And back then they had to depend on their hands and what they hear.
So that was your mom?
That was my sister, my oldest sister. She said she had a very, very, very hard time back then. And that her kids were born in the hospital.
So, were you there for your children's births? I mean, your grandchildren?
My grandchildren's, yes. For my daughters, my son lived in Colorado, so I couldn't be there, but my daughters, I have been with them all through it. And it's exciting to see those babies be born in different positions. Because not everybody has them flat on their back. I had a niece that had hers on all four hands and knees. And I have a daughter, one had one of hers standing, you know. And the rest were all just flat on their back. But I think it all depends on how their pain is less. Whatever's comfortable for the mother. And I don't think they should be forced to literally try to lay on their backs if it doesn't work. Because it's hard, because not everybody's made the same.
Were you forced to lay on your back?
Yeah. Yeah, when only one doctor told me, because I had fallen down. And the baby would come, but you wouldn't come out. And he told me, he says, get on all fours. Get on your hands and knees and have two or three contractions like that. And I felt her drop. Boom. And she was born like that afterwards. So I figured maybe when I fell and I had fever on my back or something, the placenta might have stuck to it. See, and that's what a lot of people don't understand, is that whenever you fall or have something like that, the placenta is the one that gets damaged, not the babies.
That sound is really loud. Do you know what that is?
It's my pressure cooker.
Do you want me to do something?
All the way.
Oh no, it's okay. We can wrap it up. Yeah, we'll be good. Let's say you're giving this recording to your daughters and they're going to give it to their grandchildren. Uh-huh. Is there anything you want to say?
Well, the one thing I'm going to tell them is that whatever God sends you is a blessing. It doesn't matter whether it's perfect or not. Because He knows what you need in your life. And He knows what's best for you as a person. These children are sent to be loved and to be taken care of and to grow up to be men and women of knowledge and experience the happiness you get from them. Because children are only joy. That's all they are. And I really, really express to everyone, you know, abortion is not the way. There's always somebody out there to love them.
Excellent. I think that's wonderful. Okay, so we're going to stop.